Hi, everybody, and welcome to English for You. My name is Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Today we're talking about an article called Tough Times. Now, it's about war, but it's about the food that comes out of wartime. War, of course, is awful, but it can have some unexpected effects on cuisine.
Interesting.
I think.
Yes. When I think of war, I never think World War II is terrible, but the restaurants
were
fantastic.
So good. So good.
Yes. No, war is definitely tough times. This is like hard times when life is very difficult. And of course, during war, people are in danger of being killed.
Yes.
But even if you're in a safe area, like for example, in World War II, if you lived in America, you were relatively safe, but you would find it hard to make the normal food you were used to. Many things become very scarce, very rare, very expensive during war. Like I know, for example, in England, people were limited to a very small amount of bacon or butter or cooking oil.
Salt,
bread, sugar. Things like that become very, very valuable because they need to give them to the soldiers. They need to use them in many other ways. So it can be tough to eat healthy and also not just eat the same boring thing every day during a war.
So during war, people get very creative.
I guess so.
How they use the ingredients that
makes
they
sense.
Do have, and they come up with some new dishes. That's
okay.
What we're going to be talking about today on Tough Times. Let's go ahead and read through the article first, then Mike and I will be back.
Reading.
Wartime food, cuisine created in tough times. War is a terrible thing that destroys nations and causes the death of people on both sides. Yet when countries fight, cultures mix and new traditions are born. In many instances, these battles have led to people inventing some special wartime foods. One of the most famous wartime foods is the croissant. It was created in Vienna, Austria in 1683. At that time, Austria was at war with the Ottoman Turks. One evening, some Austrian bakers heard the Turks digging a tunnel under the city. They informed the military so they could spring into action and save the city. To celebrate their victory, the bakers created a special pastry, which would later be known as the croissant. It featured layers of butter and dough and had a light taste. The bakers made it in the shape of an Islamic symbol, which they had seen on the enemy's flags. Years later, this unusual-looking snack would become popular around the world.
The article begins today by saying, war is a terrible thing that destroys nations and causes the death of people on both sides. Yes, this is what war is when, you know, two countries, when their armies fight each other, a lot of people die, a lot of, buildings and infrastructure get destroyed. If something is destroyed, it means it is completely broken down so that it can no longer be used. It is just completely demolished, in other words. A bomb might hit it, or it might be shot up with bullets during war. It might get exploded, by a missile, some sort of weapon. A lot of things get destroyed during wartime, and it causes death of people on both sides. On both sides just means, you know, one side of the conflict or the fight and the other side, the sides that are fighting each other. So it could be different countries or just different groups of people.
Absolutely, yes. War brings death, destruction, much suffering to people, but it also brings great change to the world. I mean, after wars, after a big war especially, the world is never the same and the people can change too, as it says. Yet, when countries fight, cultures mix and new traditions are born. Now you might think, well, soldiers aren't out there, like, sharing cake recipes as they're trying to kill each other, are they? No, of course they aren't. But some of the people who are around that war, maybe not actually fighting in it, but around it, or before, after the war ends, that's when these cultures can mix and new traditions can be born. A tradition is basically a established and agreed on way of doing things. Cultures, countries, peoples have traditions. When we think of giving a present or a cake with candles on top, that is a tradition in many countries. If you think of, you know, the Christmas decorations and gift giving, or the red envelopes and the songs you might sing around Chinese New Year, these are traditions. They're part of a culture and people do them generation after generation. It becomes a part of who we are.
So when there's war, people often have to move around.
Yes,
they do. They have to get away from the fighting.
So absolutely.
That's perhaps when these cultures and traditions can mix. When
sure.
People from one area, they have to run away from the fighting and they mix with people from other areas. And that's where we get these new ways of doing things or traditions. Now, in many instances, these battles have led to people inventing some special wartime foods. Instance here just means a specific time. So we're talking about instances of war. So when we have warfare or fighting, some sort of armed conflict, people invent some special wartime foods, just like we talked about at the beginning of the show. This is because they lack certain ingredients.
Yep.
They have to get creative with what they have on hand, which often isn't very much. We also see a very common phrase here, lead to somebody doing something. It means one thing causes something else. So we have a battle and we have less ingredients, people moving around, perhaps they can't carry a lot of foodstuffs with them. So that leads to them getting creative with all these things and making up some new dishes.
Very interesting. Let's look at one example here. It might surprise you. It says one of the most famous wartime foods is the croissant.
That's a wartime food. I had one yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, very common breakfast food. Most people think that it comes from France. It's the croissant, the croissant. Crescent roll?
I think you were right the first time.
Croissant, that's the sort of French way of saying it. Don't say croissant, then French people will just, you know,
they'll laugh kick at you out of the restaurant.
That's right. They'll be snooty. But anyway, the croissant, which people think of as the traditional French breakfast bread, you could say, was actually, it says, created in Vienna, Austria. Not Australia. Austria, down near Germany and Switzerland over there, slightly more in the center of Europe, back a long time ago in 1683.
I always thought it was French.
Me too.
Just because of the name.
Yeah.
I assumed, and I was wrong.
Exactly. And actually, the war that it came from didn't even involve French people.
So it has nothing to do with French people.
No, they just stole it.
It just has a French name that we use. Okay,
well, still delicious.
At that time, 1683, Austria was at war with the Ottoman Turks.
The Ottoman Turks from Istanbul, from Central Asia.
So we're going back to the time of
Europe.
What we call the Ottoman Empire.
Yes, indeed.
The Turkish people were expanding. They were getting up as far as, you know, Central Europe. They actually got quite far. They were at war with the Austrian people. To be at war with somebody means you are fighting a war with somebody. So two countries can be at war with each other. So this was Austria at war with the Ottoman Turks.
Interesting. And one evening during that war, some Austrian bakers heard the Turks digging a tunnel under the city. So this would be the city of Vienna in Austria. Some Austrian bakers, people whose job it is making bread and cakes and pies, they were busy working there, probably early in the morning, as bakers do, but they heard something maybe coming from under the floor, and that was the sound of the Ottomans, the Turks, who are the enemy outside the city, digging a tunnel, probably to go under the walls and make the walls fall down. Well, since it was very quiet, they heard them, and they decided, we should tell somebody, we should stop this surprise attack on our beloved city of Vienna.
What did they do?
They threw old bread at them.
Ow!
They threw croissants at them. Pies
and
in the
Turks ran all the way back to Istanbul.
Yay!
No. Not exactly. It says they informed the military.
Good idea.
So they could spring into action. Okay,
yes.
They informed the military. Inform just means to tell somebody.
Hey!
The military.
Down here.
is the army, the soldiers.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're bakers. They say, well, we're not going to fight these people. No. Let's go tell the soldiers they can fight them. They can spring into action. Spring into action just means you quickly begin to do something. You do something very fast. If you're in the military and somebody's invading, yes, you have to spring into action.
I gotta go get my gun.
Yeah, you can't do this.
But first, I gotta take a bath.
Well, you know, I'm on my break, so just tell the Ottoman Turks. The Ottoman Turks just to take five.
That's right.
We'll be with them in a minute.
Bit.
No, you can't do that. You must spring into action.
Grab your gun and go.
That's our shortcut for you for today. So let's take a closer look at this phrase.
Charge!
Shortcut for you.
Welcome to your first day on the job.
Thanks. I'm really looking forward to my training.
Before you put on your uniform, I have to warn you that your first day might be a big one.
I'm ready.
You'll need to be ready to spring into action at a moment's notice.
I can't wait. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it's fall, not spring.
Oh, I'm not talking about the seasons. To spring into action means to suddenly start doing something.
I see. So spring into action means 迅速而有力的行动.
Right. Today, we're going to get you started on some big jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you're prepared.
I am. What's my first task?
Do you know where the bathroom on this army base is?
Yes, but I don't need to use it. I'm completely ready to battle.
Actually, we're going to need you to clean it.
Clean the bathroom? I thought you needed me to spring into action.
We do. It's really dirty.
That was our shortcut for you, all about springing into action, doing something quickly and with energy or force. So the bakers heard the Turks being very sneaky, trying to get into the city underground. They informed the military. The military sprung into action, and I guess they must have been successful.
Yay!
Because it says to celebrate their victory.
Oh, a victory is when you win.
That's when you win. You've done something successfully.
Mm-hmm.
The bakers created a special pastry, which would later be known as the croissant. Did I say that right?
Croissant.
Yes.
Don't say the T.
Croissant.
No, definitely no. Yes, exactly. And it's a pastry. What is a pastry? It's a kind of baked good, usually made with some sugar, a lot of butter. We could think of things like a Danish, an apple turnover, even your lowly donut, you could probably say, is a pastry. Anything smaller than a pie or a cake, the kind of thing you might just buy one of when you're at a coffee shop, that type of thing would be a pastry. And what is special about the croissant pastry?
Featured layers of butter
and lots of butter, dough,
and had a light taste.
It is very light.
Lots of butter in it, lots of dough.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a light kind of flaky pastry, I guess you could say.
Yep.
It doesn't feel heavy.
That's right.
Although I think it does have a lot of calories.
It does, lots of butter.
It's not necessarily a healthy thing, it's a treat.
Yes.
But it is delicious.
That's right. And what gives it that sort of flakiness are the layers. A layer is basically a level of something. For example, if you dig down into the earth, you'll see layers of dirt. You might find a layer of gold in there, in which case, yay, you're rich. But it means that it's not all the same all the way through. There are sort of floors or levels or layers. And it says, why did it get the shape? That's the thing I'm trying to figure out, because the shape of the croissant, that sort of moon shape, or it looks like the horns of a bull kind of thing, you know, where the letter C kind of looks like that, right? Where did that come from? It says the bakers made it in the shape of an Islamic symbol.
Oh, there you go.
The crescent moon,
yes,
which you can see on the flag of Turkey, for example, even today. And of course, the bakers had seen this shape, this sort of moon shape on the enemy's flags. There you go. Yes, Islamic is the adjective relating to Islam, the religion of the Muslim people. If you are a Muslim, you probably worship by facing towards Mecca. The country of Saudi Arabia is sort of the home of the Islamic religion. But now there are Muslim or Islamic people all over the world, from Indonesia all the way over to Morocco. There are many, many Muslim nations. And a symbol is basically the sign of something. For Muslim people, that moon shape, that sort of C-shaped moon, is their symbol. For Christian people, it might be a cross or something like that. If you see it, you know what it means, and it means much more than just the simple shape.
Now, so that's where the croissant comes from.
There you go.
It is not French. It comes from Austria.
Interesting.
Inspired by the war between Austria and the Ottoman Turks.
Huh.
Now, years later,
yes,
this unusual-looking snack would become popular around the world. Yes. As most good cuisine does, it spread all around the world. It's unusual-looking. I never actually thought about what the shape means. Became popular around the world. Just means you can get it everywhere now. You can get it. What are you doing?
How did it become French?
That's an interesting question. Yes.
What?
Maybe people just thought, well, that sounds like a good name.
That's right.
Or maybe
French.
Because it looks like a backwards C. They just decided to... Yeah, how did it become French? If it's Austrian, inspired by an Ottoman-Turk war with Austria...
That's right.
And now you can get it at Starbucks.
It's French!
It's everywhere now.
Anyway,
okay.
We should take the croissant back to Austria.
Yes.
There we go. That's going to be our
goal. Make croissants Austrian again.
But before we do that, we're going to have a chat question. Come back for that.
For You Chat.
Okay, today on the program, we've been talking about unique foods that have been invented during wartime. Today we are focusing mostly on the croissant.
Yes.
So let's think of some other things that were invented during wartime. Mike,
okay,
can you think of any other things that were invented during a war?
Radar.
Which war? Do you know?
World War II.
World War II. So
yes.
Radar, of course, is that system of detection that they
use. That's right. Radio detection and ranging.
So they send out, it basically means sending out sound waves.
Beep, 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 beep. Yes,
so sound waves bounce off
exactly
something, and then you know where that thing is.
That's
it's
right.
It's like how a bat hunts.
Very, very similar, yes.
Like echolocation.
That's how airplanes find their way around the world and don't crash into mountains. They use radar, and it came from World War II. Allowed the British to beat the Germans in the Battle of Britain. Hey, hey.
I think a lot of other things that have been invented.
Nylons. Ladies' nylons.
Those are from the war?
Yeah, absolutely. Because they used to
How
use,
did that happen?
They used to use silk,
uh-huh,
but they needed the silk for the parachutes that the pilots had to use. So
okay,
they had to invent something that was easy to find, and they used oil to make nylons.
Oil. Okay, mm-hmm. So that came out of war.
That's
that
right.
I did not know.
Betty Grable is wearing a little bit of science.
A lot of times, the things that get invented during wartime are weapons.
Yeah, that's true.
Tanks and different kinds of planes,
missiles,
and different kinds of bombs and missiles
weapons,
and things like that. That's
submarines.
Usually the focus during war for most countries.
That's right.
How can we beat the opposing force? Well, we have to invent different kinds of weapons that will make us successful on the battlefield to, you know, kill more of theirs and save more of ours, that kind of thing. But we do get unique inventions in other areas.
Absolutely.
As well. Everything from fashion to, like you say, radar, things of that nature.
Yeah.
We do usually see advances in science during wartime, as well as with cuisine, which is what we're going to talk more about on tomorrow's program. Until then, for English for You, I'm Joe.
I'm Mike.
Goodbye.
Peace.
Wartime food. Cuisine created in tough times. War is a terrible thing that destroys nations and causes the death of people on both sides. Yet when countries fight, cultures mix and new traditions are born. In many instances, these battles have led to people inventing some special wartime foods. One of the most famous wartime foods is the croissant. It was created in Vienna, Austria in 1683. At that time, Austria was at war with the Ottoman Turks. One evening, some Austrian bakers heard the Turks digging a tunnel under the city. They informed the military so they could spring into action and save the city. To celebrate their victory, the bakers created a special pastry, which would later be known as a croissant. It featured layers of butter and dough and had a light taste. The bakers made it in the shape of an Islamic symbol, which they had seen on the enemy's flags. Years later, this unusual-looking snack would become popular around the world.
Vocabulary Review.
Destroy. The fire destroyed several homes on the street and everything inside of them. Tradition. It is a tradition for people in the U.S. to give out candy to children on Halloween. Instance. There were many instances of students falling asleep during the boring class. The military. The president is sending the military to another country to help win a war. Symbol. A heart with an arrow through it is a common symbol for love in many countries.